Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Last week, we began our conversation with Catherine Brightbill. She wrote an op-ed piece that appeared in the LA Times. The headline read, "Roy Moore's alleged pursuit of a young girl is the symptom of a larger problem in evangelical circles." We discussed that last week, and we have more to discuss. Now, I mentioned last week that this program is being taped prior to the election in Alabama. So as you're hearing this, we are either dealing with a Senator Roy Moore or not. We might be dealing with a Senator Doug Jones. Regardless, the subject is still an important one, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Catherine Brightbill. She was homeschooled from first grade through high school. She grew up in a politically active family, and at one time, she was the youngest ever precinct committee woman elected to her county Republican executive committee. She has a BA in Information and Computer Science from Covenant College, a graduate certificate in Teaching English as a Foreign Language and Intercultural Studies from Wheaton College, and a law degree from the University of Florida. Prior to law school, she dabbled in several different fields, including spending time on the English faculty at the Diplomatic Academy of Vietnam in Hanoi, where she taught reading and writing for international relations to foreign affairs and international law students. We welcome back once again to Common Threads, Catherine Brightbill. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Certainly. Let's go back to your experience growing up. Last week, we spent a fair amount of time on homeschooling, and I don't want to spend that much time this week because we covered quite a bit of ground. You did mention, though, that your homeschooling history was a positive one. You appreciated that. So you've never really had any regret for being homeschooled by your parents, right?
Academically, no. The way I would have a regret is how my family got ended up involved in some of the more fundamentalist parts of homeschooling. But academically, I don't have any regrets.
We didn't cover that. I thought that your family was a little bit more progressive than that. But maybe they started out that way, but didn't end up that way. Am I reading that correctly?
That would be a correct characterization. It's a fairly common homeschool families who start out as mainstream evangelicalism and then start drifting more into the more conservative parts of the movement, because it's the religious homeschool world is kind of a bubble, and there's a lot of cultural pressure to embrace things like the courtship, like young courtship, or to kind of embrace the very conservative politics, which my family never practiced the very young courtship. My parents encouraged us to go to college and get an education before getting married, but we used a lot of these sort of fundamentalist homeschool textbooks because that's what other homeschool families encouraged, and attended a lot of the very conservative homeschool events because that's kind of how homeschool world, because of that peer pressure, takes relatively mainstream families and encourages them to become more conservative and more fundamentalist.
So were you taught, what age were you taught the world is when you were growing up?
That would have been between 6,000 and 10,000 years old, the young earth creationism, which that's what my church taught as well.
I see. Now, wouldn't you say that hampers someone who, say, was going into the field of biology or archaeology or any of the hard sciences like that?
Well, yeah, I think that is, especially with any kind of biology or archaeology. It's difficult, and I think a lot of it's one. I think it's one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of people from evangelical backgrounds in the sciences.
Now you say that your parents kept you away from early courtship, correct? So they didn't. Yeah. They wanted you to wait until after your college. Did you get married?
No, I did not. Okay. I'm still single.
Okay. And I'm just curious, how does that go over in circles? Someone who is an adult woman and is still someone who you've graduated college, law school, and all of that. You're still single. How is that met in those circles?
If women who are not married by the time they're early 20s are kind of considered old maids, and which I think is also true kind of in evangelicalism as a whole, that there are, like once women start reaching their late 20s, there's a pressure for them to be finding husbands and to be married.
How about in your own family? Are people fine with you just the way you are, or are there any issues there?
My family is fine with that. My mom was 29 when my parents married and had traveled around Europe and around the U.S. before my parents married. So she encouraged my sister and me to have those experiences, have life experiences before we married.
She went,
Is relatively uncommon within the homeschool world.
I would say so. Now, I'm assuming that your mother, when she went to Europe, was properly chaperoned.
She wasn't. This was back in the mid-60s. She went to England to study at this Cape and Ray Bible School in the UK. And so she went by herself from a small town farm kid who had moved to Florida a few years before and ended up studying over in the UK and traveling around in Europe.
Ah, okay. So you had yourself a bit of a role model there. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Getting back to Roy Moore, have you seen, because I have not, but maybe you've been keeping up on this better than I, have you seen evangelical support for him other than, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing evangelical support or fundamentalist support for Roy Moore in spite of the allegations. I haven't seen people say, well, what he was doing was just what men should be doing. Finding younger girls to marry because that's a good thing to do. Have you seen any of that?
I actually have. Flip Benham, who was the director of Operation Save America for a number of years, was one of the participants in a press conference, I think it was a week ago, defending Roy Moore, and then went on Alabama radio station the next day and argued that Roy Moore was probably that more and more pursued teenage girls because he was attracted to their purity and because all of the older women who had been married off by that point. So there's that. The Federalist, which is a conservative online news outlet, had a piece several days ago arguing that child marriage is okay and it's even positive if people are wanting to have large families, and so defended Roy Moore by arguing that child marriage isn't a big deal.
Now, one other thing that your article gets into is how certain leaders in various churches are able to survive sexual allegations, misappropriation, sexual allegations, and even admitting to such things as rape or affairs or whatnot, and they're able to actually thrive. Now, this is interesting to me because I always thought that the Christian community was pretty good about throwing the bums out, so to speak, at least for a while, and give them a time, give them an opportunity to repent, to take some time off, and then perhaps some people like a Jim Baker, there's that one other guy that back in the 70s did some naughty stuff. I can't think of his name. But anyway, they often come back, but at least they are shamed. And you're saying that there are cases where people are able to just slide over these things. Like you mentioned John Piper. Is that right? Am I correct?
John Piper has or continues to promote Doug Wilson, who completely mishandled several sexual abuse cases in his congregation. Actually arranged a marriage with a convicted pedophile because he believed that marrying this convicted pedophile off to an adult woman and having that would channel his urges into a marriage instead of into molesting children. And he later ended up it's not clear whether he molested his infant child or was considering molesting his infant child. And Doug Wilson defended his decisions in that case. There's another case where an adult man who was attending the seminary affiliated with Doug Wilson's seminary was sexually abusing a teenage girl in the congregation for a number of years. And Doug Wilson asked the judge for leniency in that case and condemned her parents and said he kind of didn't think it was that big of a deal because he thought it was a parental approved courtship and that it was just a sexual immorality within a parental approved courtship. Even though the girl was, she was either 13 or 14 when the molestation began. And so Wilson continues to have influence within the Reformed community. People like John Piper still promote him even after he very horribly mishandled those cases.
I can assume that you are aware of church and parachurch organizations that have safeguards against actions such as these. Are you not?
Yes. And there are more organizations in recent years that are putting safeguards in place, largely due to the efforts of Boss Division, who is one of Billy Graham's grandsons, who has a nonprofit called Grace, is dedicated to encouraging the evangelical world to put those kind of safeguards in place to protect children.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and with me today is Catherine Brightbill. And we are talking about sexual abuse, the allegations of Roy Moore, child courtship and marriage, and homeschooling. We're covering a lot of ground today and last week as well. Speaking of last week, you mentioned something that we really didn't spend a lot of time on, but it's very easy, and I'm guilty, totally guilty. When I first heard of the allegations, when I first heard people in Alabama defending Roy Moore, I totally thought of it as a Southern problem. And you said this is not a Southern problem, that it's ubiquitous. It's all over the country, but only in certain circles. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Are there certain parts of the country other than the South that have just lots of congregating of homeschool networks and all of that versus others, or is it just pretty much evenly divided?
They're pretty well spread out around the country, and in talking to other homeschool alumni about their experiences, their friends who are involved with in very young courtships, it's pretty much spread around the country. There's not any particular region that I think it's there that it would. I would say it's specifically a problem in one region. The homeschool community, when they're promoting the young courtship, will talk about how it was normal in places like Appalachia. And so as an example to kind of defend that it's really a throwback to these older practices, kind of the defense of draw claiming history is on their side. But the courtship in those settings is kind of a different thing than the young marriages that happened in Appalachia in the early part of the 20th century.
I see. Tell us a little bit about your history, other than what I read in your bio. So, obviously, you became very politically active at a young age. How old were you when you were a committee woman?
I had just turned 18 when I was elected to the committee. You have to be a registered voter to join the executive committee, and so yeah, I joined shortly after my 18th birthday.
Was this an elected post?
It is considered a party elected post. When I joined, it was through a kind of the midterm appointment process because there was an empty seat. But if there's more than one candidate running, it actually gets on the primary ballot.
I see.
And is voted on.
Okay. And so that's where you got your feet wet in politics. Have you ever held elected office?
I have not.
And no desire for that?
Maybe sometime down the road, but not right now.
Okay.
But, I have been first involved in politics. I started getting involved when I was 11 or 12, campaigning for George H.W. Bush.
Hmm. And your political and religious stances have evolved over the years. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Now I describe myself as more of a progressive or liberal Christian, and I'm now politically liberal progressive.
Do you consider yourself an evangelical?
I wouldn't consider myself an evangelical anymore. I think that term is so closely intertwined with the religious right now that it's not useful as a term other than as a political sociological term.
There certainly are people left of center who are really fighting for the right to call themselves evangelical. What do you think that that's just a Sisyphean task?
I mean, there has been a strain of the evangelical left for a number of years, with people like Jim Wallace, Ron Sider, Tony Campolo. And so that has always been a part of evangelicalism, but there's a movement. A lot of people who had identified themselves as evangelicals who are on the left have started moving away from the term because of the politicization of it, because of the fact, like 80, over 80% of evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump, that people are deciding that it's not really a useful term because it has so much baggage.
Sure.
Although, as you said, there are people who are fighting to keep that term.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that is true. And I can see both sides. I can see people who they grew up, they call themselves evangelicals. Their theology hasn't changed, so why should they change that designation? But when it becomes a challenge to maintain that, when people have when people prejudge you, when they hear that term, oh, you're an evangelical, this is what you must believe, I can imagine that would be frustrating.
Right. And also because it's become so closely aligned with the religious right, if you're identifying with evangelical as an evangelical, to some degree you're helping give the religious right political power, even though the religious right doesn't represent you. So that's the other reason why the frustration from people who are on the evangelical left about that evangelicalism as a term.
Sure, sure. I'm curious with your blog, and I visited your site, and you certainly provide a variety of subjects that you address. It's very impressive. I would encourage people to visit your site if they're looking for thought-provoking pieces. And I'm just wondering how much of your time is spent in debate with readers of your blog. Is this something that you have to put several hours a week in or not?
It depends on whether or not the piece goes viral. My normal readership, there's not a whole lot of debate. If I go viral, I can spend quite a lot of time moderating comments, depending on the topic.
And how did this do for you? Because it did go, I mean, it ended up in the LA Times. It ended up in the Grand Rapids Press.
Yeah, this has been wild. This was something that I had actually tweeted. I had been planning on turning it into a blog post, but then the LA Times saw my tweets and reached out to me and asked me to write the op-ed. So I wrote it there instead of on my blog. So I've been getting more traffic on Twitter because I'm active all the time on Twitter.
And do you practice law right now?
Not right now. I took some time off after graduation.
Oh, so this is recent. Your law degree is recent.
Yes, I graduated in 2014.
I see. Any particular area of the law that interests you?
Actually, I specialized in intellectual property law, so copyright, trademarks, patent work. I actually swore up and down that I would never get involved in anything family law related, but then as things developed, it looks like because of my work with homeschool policy, that kind of fell into my lap as something that was important to work on. So
you think once you do establish yourself as a lawyer, that you may be getting involved in that area?
Yes, and that's the area of interest that I have is copyrights, patents, trademark law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Catherine, it has been a pleasure speaking to you both this week and last, and I do want to direct people to your blog site. It's CatherineBrightbill.com, and that's Catherine with a K and a Y in it, correct?
Yes, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. Got the least common spelling.
Right, right. Well, that's good for you. Makes you unique, at least rare.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck to you once you hang out your shingle.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Common Threads here on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and today I was joined by Catherine Brightbill. At CatherineBrightbill.com, you can find many thought-provoking pieces. Please join us again next week here on WGVU-FM.